If there were one single human element that we believe is the most important thing in the home, what would that be? Folks, in my opinion, it's love. Love. I find it interesting that the Bible teaches us in numerous places that love is the crowning grace of all the graces that you and I could possess. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecies and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Folks, charity, or love, Paul says, is the most important thing that you and I can possess. Paul writes in Colossians 3, verse 14, "And above all these things," he had just given a lengthy list of virtues that he wants us to possess. And he says this, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." I find it interesting when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he tells Timothy that he is to charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. Folks, it is imperative that you and I keep the doctrine of the church pure. But he ends by saying this, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Even when I oppose error, I am to do that from a heart of love for those to whom I am speaking." Charity is the crowning grace of Christianity, and it ought to be found in our homes. Most Christians would agree that love is a vital part of the happiness and also the success of the home, is it not? Therefore, in this lesson, let's talk a little bit about love. The title of our lesson very simply is this: how do you spell love? How do you spell love? Number one, you spell love G-O-D. Isn't that true? The Bible tells us, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." 1 John 4, verse 8. Folks, the very nature of God is love. He is love through and through, isn't He? Notice, God does not have to be taught how to love. Now, that's not true of us, is it? We constantly have to be taught how to love, and we have to be reminded how to love. Not God. God is love. And God never has to be taught how to love. His love is found in a perfect being. Therefore, folks, listen to me, His love is perfect, isn't it? Here's some things to remember about God's love. Folks, everything that He does springs from love. He created every one of us. Why? Because He loves us. He provides for us. Why? Because of His love for us. He acts in love when He disciplines us. And, folks, the ultimate act of His love was when you and I were dead in sins, when you and I had violated His will, stood as enemies against Him, He still sent His Son to die for us, didn't He? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3, verse 16. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Folks, God loves, doesn't he? Secondly, how do you spell love? A-C-T-I-O-N. Folks, love is more than just some words and just an emotion. Now, yes, love involves words, doesn't it? I love you. And yes, love should involve the emotional component of man. But love is much more than just love or words and emotion. That's what the Bible teaches. Love acts on behalf of others. Isn't that what John says? Notice what John writes. But whoso seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He goes on to say, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, 17 and 18. John lets us know very quickly that love is more than an emotion. Love is more than just mouthing words. He says love involves action on the part of another. I see another hurting. I see another have need. I see another that is in a desperate situation and I do nothing when I can, folks. That is not true love. That concept is easier preached and easier understood than it is practiced, isn't it? Watch this. How often do we see someone in need and rather than being compassionate and rather than responding positively to the individual, we recoil, don't we? I'm not helping him. Why does he need help? There's job signs posted everywhere. Isn't that what we say? He needs to help himself. You see, it's so hard, isn't it, to see somebody have a need and to respond to that need. Gaius wasn't like that at all. John's friend, a member of the church, he writes to in 3 John, and listen to what he says. Beloved, that thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have what? Which have borne witness to thy charity before the church. Now notice there's two groups of people he's done good to, hasn't he? Number one, he's done good to those who were Christians, his brethren. But notice that he also says, you've also done good to who? To strangers. People that are not connected to you. People who are different from you. And he says, they've borne witness of your charity to the church. You see, folks, when we do good, we don't have to talk about ourselves. We don't have to boast ourselves to the congregation or before others. When you and I do good, those individuals will boast for us of what we've done for them. Secondly, that truth, doing good, showing action, responding positively to others as far as love is concerned, we can do it in some areas, and then there are other areas wherein we have a lot of difficulty doing that, even within the home. You see, it's easy to take care of basic needs, isn't it? Food, clothing, shelter, medical bills. You see, we do all of those things for our family, don't we? Why? Because we love them, but sometimes rebuke, chastisement, punishment, those aren't easy to carry out, are they? And yet the Bible very plainly teaches us that those kind of things involve love as well. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Folks, if you spare the rod, if you refuse to discipline, you hate your child rather than truly love them. But yet sometimes that discipline's difficult, isn't it? The Lord said in Revelation 3:19, "For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." We turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, and we find the new convert by the name of Simon desiring the gift of God. And he desires it so much that he offers Peter money for it. And what does Peter say? Bless your heart? No. He immediately rebukes that man, does he not? And he tells him, repent and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Here was a man who was guilty of sin. Here was a man who was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And Peter immediately rebukes that new Christian. Holds him accountable. Why? Because Peter hated him? No. Because Peter was manifesting love for that man's soul. Folks, sometimes it's hard to love the way God truly wants us to love, isn't it? But you see, love always responds with action. Thirdly, how do you spell love? S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E. Sacrifice. Look at this statement. Folks, a sacrifice is something that is offered to another person. It's offered to another person. Now, there are some characteristics of all sacrifices. Number one, it involves something I possess. You know, it's easy to give away things that the church provides, isn't it? It's not as easy to give away something that you and I possess. It's easy to give away something somebody else has, isn't it? But it's not as easy to give away something that we have. Secondly, an offering always costs the person something. Costs the person something. Thirdly, an offering always involves labor and effort on our part. You see, you and I had to toil. You and I had to work. You and I had to put forth some effort to acquire the thing that we did what? That we gave up. And lastly, it involves a voluntary act of the will. Why have you given me this? Why have you done this for me? Because I want to. It's voluntary. You weren't forced. You weren't coerced. Folks, we've been doing that regularly here at Oceanside since the beginning of this year, haven't we? We present a need to you, and individuals in this congregation are sacrificing on a regular basis. Here's the need, and you respond, not because anybody's holding a gun to your head, but because you desire to help. That's what love is all about, sacrifice. Two examples. How about Jesus? Isn't he an example of sacrifice? The Bible tells us that he is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Paul refers to him as our Passover, which was slain for us, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For even Christ, our Passover, was offered for us. I want you to think about Jesus. He became a literal sacrifice, didn't he? Can you imagine that? A literal sacrifice? He literally poured out his blood on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be forgiven of our transgressions. A real, true sacrifice, folks. It's unbelievable to me. And yet some individuals will discount that and say, well, that was Jesus. And that's the Son of God. Well, let's look at another example of sacrifice, Paul. When he wrote to the Philippians, listen to what he says. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I what? I joy and rejoice with you all. Folks, Paul was willing to literally give himself for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, when that happens and I have to do that, he says, I will do it with joy and I will rejoice with you all. What an example. To show our love, folks, we must sacrifice. We'll sacrifice our possessions. We'll sacrifice our labor. We'll sacrifice our precious time. We'll sacrifice our presence. And if need be, we will even be willing to lay down our lives in sacrifice for other people. Love is sacrifice. Number four, how do we spell love? F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S, forgiveness. You know, in our homes, there's relationships, aren't there? And in relationships, there's struggles, there's trials, there's difficulties, there's challenges. There's all kinds of storms that can enter into the fabric of our lives. And sometimes in the course of all those events, guess what we do? We sin, don't we? Two, the home is composed of human beings. A father, a mother, children, a husband, a wife, just human beings. And there's not a human being on the face of the earth who is perfect. There's not a human being on the face of the earth who has ever overcome temptation and never sinned other than our precious Savior. We will all sin. So what do we do when we find sin in our homes? If we love, we forgive, don't we? You see, when sin is committed, love responds with forgiveness. But love what covers all sin? Proverbs 10:12. Just seven chapters later in Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth transgression seeketh what? Seeketh love. Paul tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another, and what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye. Forgiving. That's not the easiest thing to do, is it? Even when we want to, it's not easy. I've been hurt. I've been offended. I've been transgressed against. And you just want me to wipe that away? Isn't that what forgiveness is? The removal of sin? It's not easy. So here's a question. How do we cultivate forgiveness in the home? 3 points. Number one, folks, in our homes, we need to constantly remind ourselves about the story of man's fall and the story of God's redemption. We need to remember that, don't we? You see, in Genesis chapter 3, we get the stage set where we stand in need of forgiveness, don't we? Man violates the will of God. Man is now an enemy against God, and what does he need? He desperately needs the forgiveness of the Almighty. What if God had said, now that you've transgressed, I will never forgive you? He could have done that too, couldn't he? He could have forced Adam and Eve to pay their own debt for their sins. And mankind would have had no hope of forgiveness whatsoever. Aren't you glad God didn't do that? You see, folks, God gave forgiveness to man, didn't he? Jesus tells a story about God's forgiveness and our forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. A man has a debt. He goes to his master and he asks his Lord to forgive him, and he does, doesn't he? But that same man has a fellow servant who owes him just a piddly amount of money, and he refuses to forgive the debt. When the Lord of that servant hears that, he immediately calls that man back into his presence, doesn't he? Look what he says. Oh, thou wicked servant. I forgave thee all the debt. Why? Because thou desirest me. Folks, that's God forgiving us of our iniquities. God says, I've forgiven you all your transgressions, all your iniquities. But now notice, shouldest thou not also forgive, have compassion on him, thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? Folks, people who sin against us, it's just a piddly thing compared to what you and I have done against God Almighty. And if God can reach down and if God can forgive us of our great sins, can we not in like manner forgive those little sins of others? What does the Bible tell us? Be ye followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Do like God has done and forgive. Secondly, how do we cultivate forgiveness in our homes, folks? We need to possess gracious tongues, don't we? There was a man who wrote this: the language of grace and manner should flavor the family conversation. Too many homes are filled with anger and hate and the spewing forth of things that never need to be said. The Bible tells us how we're to speak. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Colossians 3 verse 6. And number 3, folks, we need to root out the weeds of selfishness, disrespect, and dishonor in our homes. And we need to instill within our homes respect, honor, and devotion one for another, shouldn't we? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor all men. Here's what's interesting. Sometimes a husband honors a store clerk more than he honors his wife. Sometimes a wife honors one of her best friends more than she honors her husband. We find, too, that parents sometimes honor their employer more than they honor their children. And children honor their teachers more than they honor their parents. Folks, we need to restore honor and respect and devotion to one another in our houses, shouldn't we? Here's what we're saying. Let's cultivate forgiveness in our homes. Let's remember God's redemption. Let's speak gracious words one to another. And let's weed out all of those negative qualities within our home. And let's show respect and honor for one another. And when we do, it'll make our homes a lot more forgiving. Notice next. How do you spell love? H-E-A-V-E-N, heaven. Why do we say that? Folks, isn't heaven the dwelling place of God? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, what? Which art in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. If God dwells in heaven, and if God is love, then guess what? Love resides in heaven, doesn't it? And guess what? That is our ultimate home. We talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? Philippians 3, verse 20, for our conversation, our citizenship is not here. Where is it? Our citizenship is in heaven. Think about that, folks. We have a home in heaven. And what is there? Total, complete, absolute love that is found in that place. And our homes are supposed to be images of that, aren't they? Folks, our homes should be the place where we practice for heaven, shouldn't it? Our homes ought to be the prelude to heaven. Our homes ought to be the very model, the very picture of heaven itself. Now, yes, it's going to be imperfect, but it ought to be at least a representation of what's there. A father who loves, cares, and provides for his children. A submissive wife who practices kindness and makes certain that within that home there is a tranquility that is found. Children who are obedient and respectful and seek to please their parents. Folks, isn't that what heaven is going to be all about? A father who's cared for us, the church, his bride, who is there as a submissive individual, and all of us as children who have sought to please the Heavenly Father. Every one of those things are acts of love, aren't they? Up to this point, every one of you in here probably think that the preacher doesn't know how to spell. Don't you? The title of our question very simply was what? Our lesson. How do you spell love? G-O-D? A-C-T-I-O-N? S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E? This preacher's just getting worse, isn't he? F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S-H-E-A-V-E-N. Folks, is that how you really spell love? No. We know how love is spelled, don't we? L-O-V-E. Folks, if you and I can put just a little love into our homes, we're going to reap some major benefits. You know that? We're going to lift up every member in that household. We're going to optimize the happiness of that home. Folks, we are going to vanquish all the failings that we see in many of our homes today just by what? Just by putting love in those homes. And we'll also see our homes endure forever and ever and ever, as long as there is love found therein, won't we? Folks, the problem with our home today is a lack of that number one quality of love. God wants us to go home, doesn't He? And when we get there, there's going to be nothing but love in which you and I dwell. Makes me want to go there, doesn't it, you? No more hatred. No more anger. No more confusion. No more disrespect. No more cynicalness. No more sarcasm. Just a deep love shared by everybody who is there, being manifested most by the God who is love. If you want to go there, there's some things you've got to do, don't you? You've got to obey the gospel. And the steps are simple. Believe in Jesus, repent of sins, confess His name, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. My friend, if you're a Christian and you've erred, all you've got to do, repent of that sin, confess it, and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond, won't you come? as we stand and sing.